if I said to you, if I, and I mean, I could list them all off, all of the pitchers who've been down at one point or another for the Blue Jays, some of the position players who've been injured, whether it's George Springer with the oblique and then the quad missing the first three or so weeks of the season, Teoscar Hernandez going down with COVID and being lost for the better part of 2 weeks. That led to some lack of length issues in the Blue Jays lineup. The offense was somewhat sputtery and slow out of the gate. The left side of the field defense, be it shortstop, third base, left field. If I said all of that would be issues the Blue Jays would face in the first month of the season, but they would be 14-12 and tied with division-leading Boston in the loss column in the first week of May, I think any Blue Jays fan would take it.
I concur. And one of the most important reasons, Scott, is this team has the second best team ERA in the American League right now. And you might not necessarily think that because there have been at times some rotation inconsistencies, but the overall consistency has been there when you consider the bullpen, and Phelps has been outstanding. Jetwood, I think, has helped to settle things down since he's come back. Romano, I'm very encouraged by what we've seen from him. So there's actually a lot to like here. And I also think and I started with sort of the more subtle point about the pitching staff. I think the most important thing is that Vlad Jr. looks like one of the five best players in the sport right now. And that's hugely important, not just for today, but for the future. He looks like the, dare I say, Miguel Cabrera 2.0, early career Miguel, that people forecasted him to be. And you can tell that physically and mentally he is aligned in a wonderful way, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him play. And I love that there's a lot of robust conversation now around who the best players in the game are, who the best young players in the game are. Vlad's right back in that conversation. And I think, me, Scott, if we had talked with a panel of Jays fans on February 10th as things were getting underway, and they could have had one wish for the first month of the season, it would probably be that they had their Vlad back, and they have their Vlad back.
Randall Grichuk lines an RBI single in the 10th to win it Saturday, had a couple hits, another couple hits yesterday. The fact that his bat's been so hot and he's been great in the field, does this not give them, does this not give Springer a little, like, is that the reason Springer's been, you know, just not really rushed back in the lineup? He's been DH in a couple games, now looks like they might give him a couple days off. Does Grichuk have anything to do with that?
I think so, a little bit, Mike. First of all, they have to make their decision on George, about George, from a medical standpoint. And if anything, I think we can all tell what a great competitor George is, and that he wants to be back in the lineup yesterday. And of course he has been, but it's apparent to me that George is not 100% yet, but he still wants to be in there. And that's again, a credit to one of the great people in sport, really. I just have immense respect for George on off the field, what he's done, what his family stands for. He's just a tremendous person. And I think that George, probably out of his own professional pride, has felt the need to be back on the field a little before he really should be. And to your point, Mike, the ability now to take a step back for a couple days if needed is linked directly to the way Grichuk has played. And Grichuk, the Blue Jays are incredibly lucky they didn't trade him, because when they signed George, I'm sure their phone was ringing from different teams wanting Grichuk if they would have paid down the salary. We know, of course, he still is one of the highest paid players in the team. And to me, he's made a really good adjustment. He's able, to your point, Mike, to take the ball to the opposite field. He is having much more thorough at-bats, is the word I'll use, than I recall of the games I watched of him in St. Louis early in his career. So I've been very impressed by him, and the Blue Jays, Mike, are very, very lucky that they kept him.
John Paul Morosi with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's still early in the season. I think only the Detroit Tigers would acknowledge that they've completely fallen out of the race. There are other teams that are going to, and some are headed in that direction. Colorado Rockies would probably acknowledge it as well, and they've had a topsy-turvy week as it is. Jeff Brittich, their general manager, stepping down, and it's been a weird deal there. Trevor Story's a name, Colorado shortstop, that has come up. He's an impending free agent, part of this excellent free agent class of shortstops at the end of this season that teams will be interested in bidding on. And I'm looking at the Cubs, and I'm seeing Chris Bryant tear the cover off the baseball, apparently 100% healthy for the first time in a couple of seasons, John, and he's a pending free agent. As I look at the situation with the Blue Jays, I don't think you go all in on a rental this season, but I do go and get somebody to help me this season if I think I can re-sign them. From your sense around the league, agents, etc., Toronto being a destination, a good young team. They obviously lured Hyunjin Ryu a year ago, George Springer this past offseason. Do you think the Blue Jays are a team that could go and make a blockbuster trade for a guy without a contract beyond this year and be able to keep him?
Sure, it's certainly possible, Scott. And I would say that, first of all, it's a very difficult year to make that move and then have any sort of assurance that you're able to keep them, just simply because the CBA is expiring. We're still, all of us are, in a process of organizing our expectations of what life in 2022 will look like, just for all of us in humanity. And that's another part of it that you have to consider. But I think in general, I look at this club and say, they had the heritage of going all in, and that was certainly a different administration and ethos when they brought in David Price as part of that incredible year in 2015. But also last year, Taiwan Walker was one of the best pitchers in baseball who was traded, and they also got Robbie Ray. So there was a lot of activity, I think, in that respect for the Jays in 2020 as well. So when you consider where they're at, their GM just had a new multi-year contract extension. We're not sure, obviously, precisely where the Jays will be playing in the second half of the season, which is part of the other, I think, underlying uncertainty. And one of the other reasons why, I would say, Scott, to circle back to your earlier question, you have to really credit the players a lot for how they've handled everything and the position that they're in right now. So I think this is a team that, to me, as we mentioned their pitching staff at the outset of our conversation, they're the kind of club that can make a move for a rental bat. And I think every team in the sport is dealing with uncertainty of different kinds and not perhaps worried as much about can I sign the player for next year as they would be in a normal year, because with the CBA coming up and the world still examining what 2022 will look like from a COVID standpoint, I think those considerations are somewhat reduced. And I do think, oddly enough, Scott, the team that ranks just ahead of the Jays in team pitching ERA, which surprised me a little bit, is the Yankees. And they probably need a bat as well. Whether it's Story, whether it's Bryant, I could see the Yankees making a pretty big splash for a hitter as well. And so I think the Jays will be in that conversation, and the overall piece of the decision as it relates to the future, to me, I think will be lessened, and you're really all about how can I win a championship in 2021.